Time Select is your ticket to news without the noise. A daily digital edition of news, business, lifestyle, sport, and more. It's news you can trust anytime, anywhere. We know that's important now more than ever, and that's why we're offering a 60-day subscription to Time Select for just 60 Rand. Go to select.timeslive.co.za/buy to sign up for this great deal. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mdiwa Gavaza, and for today we are talking about the international prospects for South African investors during this COVID-19 crisis. Simply because when you are out there looking to allocate capital or looking for investment opportunities, a lot of people tend to look at how they can hedge their bets from the local market and see how they can spread their money, you know, around the world, just so that they can take advantage of some of the opportunities that may be presented in a crisis like we have going on right now. Global markets aren't where they were 5 weeks ago, but to help us to sort of navigate the landscape and give some insight into what's going on in global markets and where you can invest some of your money, we are joined on the line by Dorian Carroll, who is a multi-asset fund manager at Global Investment Manager Schroders. He is joining us on the line from London. Dorian, how are you?
Very good. Good afternoon from London.
Thank you so much for joining us. I guess from a good place for us to start is, since you are sitting in London, what are you guys sort of seeing on that end? And I guess in terms of how the markets have been affected in that part of the world, and how does that, I guess, compare to what's going on in the rest of the world, just from your vantage point?
Yeah, well, I mean, sitting here in London, obviously, we had the lockdown implemented a bit later than everyone else. And so sadly, I think that means that we're going to be have the lockdown imposed on us for a few weeks longer as well. I understand in South Africa, you're coming more towards the end. I think we have some time to go. And I think that really affects the psychology of investors here in the UK. So we look to our immediate neighborhood and we look at Europe and we see that Italy, Spain and France are at varying degrees of beginning to emerge from over a month's lockdown. And the markets really have been hit quite badly as well. So when we look at it from a multi-asset perspective across the world, we see that the first wave really happened in Asia. And at that stage, we didn't think that there would be a pandemic, which is why markets were quite relaxed. And then we got hit more in Europe, which we're seeing now. And the effects have been quite serious in the UK. But most important of all to markets has been the virus, the infection rate and the mortality rate in the States, which was the third geographical wave, if you like. And what we've seen from an investment point of view is that economically, there's been a huge hit. We see it here in the UK, we see it in Europe and elsewhere. We're talking about a hit, something in the extent of over 10% for the second quarter. And this has obviously caused a reaction in markets. Just to give you a couple of examples, global equities are down nearly 15% year to date, European and emerging market equities 20%, and the high yield market, which is normally less volatile and less high beta, is down over 10%, around 12%. And the most striking example of all in the neighborhood of Europe is European banks, which have fallen over 40%. So it's interesting to see that economically there's been a big hit. Obviously, we have a lot of uncertainty about the path of the virus in different locations from here, but the markets have certainly discounted and priced in an awful lot.
I guess from that point of view, one of the things that we can ask, because in South Africa, one of the things that has been a big topic of conversation is an impending contraction in economic growth and economic activity. What does that look like, I guess, in your neighborhood in terms of GDP outlooks, that sort of thing? What is that looking like?
Well, again, I mean, we'll take the immediate neighbourhood first. So Europe is in the eye of the storm, and it's had a fairly severe hit. When you look at the infection figures in Italy and Spain in particular, and also in France. So economically, as I said, I think there will be a drop in the region of 10% in Q2. That's what our economists are telling us at Schroeder's. And the question from there is whether we're into a what people refer to as a V-shaped recovery or a U-shaped recovery, or more alarmingly, an L-shape, which is not really a recovery. And it's the path of the recovery now that's becoming far more important. So here in Europe, we're seeing that the change in the infection rate, so it's the level of increase in the infection rate, has decreased quite significantly over the last few weeks, more so in the countries that went into lockdown earliest. And this means that people and investors in Europe now focus on what's going to come next. We're in a slightly strange situation because the extent of the fall in GDP and economic activity is huge, obviously, but the expectations for recovery are quite rapid. And the reason behind this is that we're in possibly the first, or certainly the first that I can think of, artificially created recessions by government themselves. And so here we've got a situation where governments have imposed a lockdown, and it's the lockdown that's creating the recession. In terms of where we go from here in the UK and in Europe, what's very important is to think about the reaction. So the governments, yes, they imposed the lockdown, which caused the recession for very good medical reasons. But happily, we've seen that central banks and governments have stepped in to offset the economic effects of this. And we think they've done it pretty effectively. So what they've done is they've provided loans and they've supported wages. And the idea behind this is to avoid, as far as possible, as many bankruptcies as they can, and to reduce the long-term structural unemployment effects. And we think that the Fed in particular has done this very well by stepping into markets and by providing the mechanisms for backstop for loans. And Congress has backed them up in the States. And in Europe, we're beginning to see that the ECB in particular has moved very strongly by cutting rates and supporting loans. They've also relaxed capital requirements for banks, which helps banks lend to the economy. So there's been a lot of activity. But in Europe, the key date for us is Thursday this week, when we're going to see the ECB come out with announcements about how they're going to expand their debt buying program and what they're going to include in that. And for us, it's absolutely key that the program is expanded and its remit is broadened, as we think that the outlook is at the margin brightening.
It definitely sounds like a lot of doom and gloom, and it can be expected given everything that is going on around the world. But from what you're seeing, where do opportunities lie, if at all? Because, you know, just looking at some of the global equity markets, you see in the United States, for example, that companies like Zoom have seen massive growth because of teleconferencing. Netflix had a record-breaking quarter, adding 15 million subscribers. In China, you see Tencent has managed to sort of keep going as a tech company because people are staying at home. They're playing lots of games, that sort of thing. So from where you guys are sitting, where are you seeing the opportunities? And I guess from an income and capital returns point of view, how is that landscape looking?
Okay, so you seem to have spotted some of the opportunities there yourself. But I think the key here is to separate what's temporary and what's longer lasting in terms of the real sort of medium-term investment opportunities. So it doesn't really matter whether you sit here or in Johannesburg or in New York. There are certain valuation opportunities that have opened up in the market. And as you said, these do split into income and capital growth type opportunities. So depending on what type of recovery we get, the prospects are improving for growth investments, the timing of which is very difficult. So the way we see it is investors all over the world face the same type of challenges. One is on timing, which is the hardest of all. And the two is whether the future prospects are in fact picking up. And three, whether sustainable and secure income is available, especially for people who are investing for pensions, etc. So if I start on the income side, here we see major opportunities within fixed income, so within credit mainly, but also some government bonds across the world. And to give you some examples, we see US high yield spreads now of 800, which is a sort of a number that's hard for people to really make sense of. But to give you an idea, only about 10% of the time in the last 15 years have spreads been this wide. So it has the opportunity for picking up yield and being this great in US high yield. We also see opportunities in high quality emerging market debt. So emerging market sovereign investment grade or corporates where US corporates are very cheap, but emerging market investment grade corporates are even cheaper. So on the yield side, there are plenty of opportunities if you see things through a dollar perspective. And this is because rates have been cut to nearer zero in the US and in Europe. So there's definitely opportunity there. If you're pushing yourself up the risk spectrum, if you've got a slightly sunnier view and are expecting more of a V or perhaps a slightly broad U in terms of recovery, we think the best place to look is towards equities, but you can stop halfway and look at hybrids. So here you could look at convertible bonds or even preferred shares, because one of the characteristics of this crisis is that people look back to the global financial crisis and they tend to assume that it's going to be the same, which is why I said at the beginning that European banks have been hammered in terms of valuations. We've seen the same thing in credit. So financials and credit offer very attractive yields, and you can access these through corporate bonds or through preference shares. So that's on the income side. And then finally, on the equity side, valuations are very difficult to interpret at the moment. So people talk about price to earnings, they talk about price to book. On the price to earnings side, the US does look expensive optically. It's over 20 times earnings. Europe looks okay, as does Asia at about 15. And emerging markets look on this basis alone a bit cheaper at somewhere nearer 13 times. The key here is that we have to see earnings recover, but we do think that you will. And so we think there are opportunities on the income side and in terms of capital returns, but it depends on your own view of your home currency. So I imagine this is something that you deal with a lot, but it's about whether people are happy with the starting point for the South African currency.
And then on that, are there challenges, I guess? And by challenges, have there been, I guess, any restrictions in the last couple of weeks that may have been imposed in certain markets on, I guess, foreign either inflows and outflows of money? Some of these spreads, some of the yields that you're talking about, some of the markets, is anyone able to participate, or have they left certain opportunities only for people in those countries? Because I'm sure there are South African investors listening right now saying, oh, these sound like good opportunities that Dorian is talking about, but can I really participate?
Yeah, well, I suppose, I mean, there are two sides to that. I mean, the first is to not answer your question, but to talk about the equity side, because here a lot of dividends have been cut and will continue to be cut. So in Europe and in the UK here, banks, for example, have been put on under massive pressure not to pay dividends, and they weren't particularly given a choice here. So that's the way dividends have been cut there. We've seen it in certain types of insurance companies as well. And we've also seen it with companies that have taken advantage of government schemes to pay their employees rather than let them go. The quid pro quo there often, especially if the state eventually has to take an equity stake, is that you don't pay dividends, you don't repurchase shares. So the reason I pointed out the fixed income ones is that the opportunity for yield in equities is diminishing. You've got sort of diminishing dividends, if you like. On the fixed income side, as you mentioned, there are attractive yields. All of the asset classes I mentioned are hard currency asset classes, so mostly in dollars, but we also see opportunities in some euro names as well. And these aren't subject to capital controls, and they're not subject to investment restrictions as we speak. The area that you've had discussion in this area has been emerging market debt, particularly at the high yield end, and Africa, parts of Africa would be part of that too. And you've seen some bilateral and multilateral debt forgiveness in terms of delaying coupons and being open to restructuring through initiatives through the IMF and the World Bank. What's been interesting is that hasn't touched private creditors yet. So it hasn't touched private investors or fund managers participating in that debt. And for the moment, we think these opportunities are open, yes.
Okay. So as we come to the end of the conversation, what's your outlook for global investment markets for the rest of this year? I think you started off part of the discussion talking about the fact that some of the opportunities that you've highlighted, it depends on whether you have a short or a medium or a long-term view as to whether or not, you know, it's viable or not. So I guess for the rest of the year, where do you see things going?
So, yeah, so the reason we kind of split the conversation a little bit into income and capital growth is because there's so much uncertainty in the next few months. The key points are whether we get a fairly rapid recovery from here, albeit from a very low base in terms of economic activity. To see this, we need to see the infection rates continue to decrease in terms of the increase in the infection rates. And if that starts to happen, the outlook looks much brighter. But while that's happening, and just in case there's a second or a third or a fourth wave or a ripple or whatever way you want to look at it, we do think that people should look for income as a way of being paid to wait. So you're effectively collecting the yield as you wait for this situation to play out. And we think that the best way to look for that is to bias yourselves towards quality. So look more towards high quality names, look higher up where you can in the capital structure. So look more towards bonds or hybrids. And the reason here is that this yield is not discretionary. It's a coupon yield that can't be cut and isn't at the discretion of companies. So you have a more secure form of income. And we think that you should look really in the beginning at the higher quality areas, but there are some really interesting value opportunities if and when the sun starts to rise again. So we would tiptoe into some of the cheaper areas of equities and look for opportunities in more high yield fixed income. But the sequence should be, in our view, high quality first, and get paid to wait as you see the situation unfold.
Get paid to wait, look for opportunities that will give you an income as we wait for the recovery. Those are the words of Dorian Carroll, who is a multi-asset fund manager at global investment manager Schroders. He was just giving us some highlights and an overview of what the global investment landscape is looking like at the moment. He is sitting in London, and he was just letting us know that in that part of the world, since they started the lockdown a bit later, they are anticipating that they will ultimately have to end that lockdown a bit later, which is affecting their markets there as well. But in Europe and in America, there's been a lot of liquidity that's being put into the different economies, and he's saying that at the moment there are some good spreads that are being seen in places like the US. But on the equity side, he's just warning that some of the valuations are very hard to interpret at the moment. And he's also just talking about the fact that global investment at the moment, the uncertainty is what is what's going to drive where things go, whether it's going to be a V shape, a U shape, or an L shaped recovery. At the moment, that uncertainty is what's impeding a lot of the outlooks for the rest of the year. So that's what he has to say, and he's also just saying that in thinking about some of these opportunities, one has to consider things from an income point of view and a capital returns point of view. So that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Dorian, how can people perhaps engage with you if they want to learn more or to maybe engage with Schroders?
I think the best way is to go to the schroders.com website. And there is an awful lot of content in terms of podcasts from our economists, an outlook from the various different teams, and our team will be one of those. So there's a huge kind of reservoir of content there if people are interested.
Okay, so you heard there's a lot of content that's available from Schroders if you visit their website, just in terms of the different teams that they have, because they're doing a lot of different asset classes, so you can get more insights there. Time Select is your ticket to news without the noise, a daily digital edition of news, business, lifestyle, sport, and more. It's news you can trust anytime, anywhere. We know that's important now more than ever, and that's why we're offering a 60-day subscription to Time Select for just 60 Rand. Go to select.timeslive.co.za/buy to sign up for this great deal.
This is Mudiwa's Tech.
Now, the importance of that discussion we've just had is just trying to highlight what's going on in and around the world. I'm talking to someone who's actually sitting in London, hearing what the situation is on the ground from an investments and from a markets point of view. You know, also just highlighting the fact that things are bad in South Africa, but we often hear about what's going on in the US, what's going on in Europe. But just hearing from someone who's there telling us that, you know, they're expecting a longer lockdown because they were late to the train in terms of, you know, shutting down their different economies, and then what type of effect that's now having on them. But I guess the real core and essence of the discussion is just trying to find opportunities. Because of all the uncertainty right now, where to place your money, where to invest, these are very crucial questions that are being asked by individual investors and institutional investors alike. And he's just highlighting the fact that you need to look at it from an income point of view and a capital gains point of view, which I think is probably a good framework to be looking at things. Lots of opportunities. You heard about the spreads in the US. So there are opportunities out there if you're an investor who's looking and trying to diversify, maybe hedge their bets. You only have money in South Africa, invested in South Africa, for example, and you're looking at, you know, maybe what's going on in Hong Kong, what's going on in Australia, what's going on, in Berlin, what's going on in Paris, what's going on, you know, on the New York exchanges. And something like this sort of broadens your mind about some of the opportunities that are out there. But going forward, it will be interesting to see how the various liquidity packages and support that the different governments are giving around the world will impact investment. You know what I mean? Because if 500 billion is put into the SA economy, is all of it really going to go towards social needs to small businesses and the like? What are some people going to do with some of the money that they get? Is it all just going to be used to pay bills and make sure that, you know, there's some food on the table? Or are some people going to take the opportunity to perhaps use the money to invest in certain equities that we're hearing that are, you know, cheap at the moment? But it remains to be seen. Otherwise, very valuable discussion. We look forward to expanding this out, 2 weeks ago we spoke about what's going on in Africa. Now we're hearing a lot about what's going on in that European neighborhood. It would be good to get another view, maybe in another part of the world, perhaps Asia next. But otherwise, we hope that you enjoyed that, and that you know, stay calm, stay home, and keep investing. As for this conversation, that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. And then on Twitter, by hashtag BD Spotlight. You can also review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gabaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.